sorry, we're unable.
If you've checked your directory and are unable to find the number you wish, please stay on the line and a directory assistance operator will answer. Thank you.
What city, please?
For Lagunitas.
Yes?
Yes, do you have the listing for Wes Wilson in Lagunitas?
Wes Wilson?
Yeah.
Okay. 488-4422.
Now, what's the 488-4422?
Right. That's right.
Huh. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Just in case it's 707.
If you've checked your directory and are unable to find the number you wish, please stay on the line and a directory assistance operator will answer. Thank you.
What city, please?
Lagunitas in Marin County?
Yes.
Yeah, is Lagunitas in the 415 area code or 707?
Yes, 415.
It is?
Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. She just...
Good morning, may I help you?
Yes, I'm having some difficulty reaching a number in Lagunitas. 488-4422.
No area code, sir?
Yeah, it's a 415 number, I'm told.
And it's 488?
Yeah.
What number?
4422.
Thank you. What kind of trouble are you having, sir?
Well, it doesn't register as home.
I'm sorry, let me try it for you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Can I speak to Lizzie?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
How you doing, kid?
Gary?
Yeah.
Oh, God, am I glad to hear from you. Eva, I got it.
Listen, I've got a message for you from our friend.
Okay, hon, just a second, okay?
Okay. I'll hang on.
Gary, I thought Gene Brown was going to be calling.
Gene Brown?
Huh?
Gene Brown?
Yeah, because he's Gene Brown, called Bruce, and I should call her back and tell her where I am, give her the number.
Hmm. I know nothing about it.
Yeah, this just happened a few minutes ago when the phone rang. I thought that must be Jean. Oh, Gary, I'm so glad to hear from you.
Now, Liz, it's really weird calling you like this, but I want you to hear this message.
Okay.
Like, could you just listen to it straight if you have any questions or comments or whatever, just, you know, like, bring them up.
Okay, where are you, Gary?
I'm calling from a private phone.
A private phone?
Yeah.
You're all by yourself.
Yeah.
You're not being taped? I don't believe it.
No.
Oh, well, it's okay if I'm go ahead.
Okay, listen. Jim and Marcy have really great love for you. And Jim hates to see you make this mistake. And you know their strength in numbers. I mean, you really do.
I know
you've been part of this long enough.
I know their strength where?
You know that their strength in numbers.
Uh-huh.
All the numbers we have. We really hate to see you burn your bridges behind you, kid. We really do.
Mm-hmm.
You know this is a place of protection and love. And then there's some, you know, Sandy Parks. You know, she's suffering now from a really serious kidney complication. I don't know the particulars of it, but it's pretty serious from what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
And Grace is wanting to come back, and I understand that she's going to be here 4 weeks from this coming Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then Linda. Sweeney's daughter is in and out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
As long, and this is really important for you to know, as long as you want our friendship, you have it.
Not
that's an absolute. Vicky's gotten into lots of trouble writing checks for money she just doesn't have. And we're going to have to help her out with her legal problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very considerable one, on top of all the burdens that Jim has now. Also, as far as Renee is concerned,
Renee?
Renee.
Oh, Renee. Oh.
Yeah.
Let me write this down so I get it absolutely right.
Yeah, that's okay. Good, that's good. We love that you want to, straighten out the things she said. She is a chronic liar. And isn't that something that even her grandmother said?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you expressed to me on Friday night that the things she said are, patently ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that can be straightened out together, if you want to, and that is entirely up to you.
What do you mean together?
Now we can clear up the lies that she's told.
You can clear them up? You mean like with the social worker?
Now listen, why don't you just let me finish?
Okay, go ahead.
I want you to get, a coherent idea of what this message is.
Right.
And, if we both bog it down, it'll make it harder for you to really put the things together.
Okay.
And we can straighten this mess out if we get together and work on it. We can clear up the lies she's told. And, of course, we have recreation and basketball and ping pong, wrestling, boxing, things like that. And that's got to be, told. But no reduced sports are engaged in without consent of, parents and child together. Mrs. Lytle is not to think that children are being forced to do things without parental consent.
That wasn't one of the things. That wasn't
going to happen. It relates, though.
Does it?
Yeah. And we are not at all political, as you're very aware. In answer to one other question you had.
I need to know more details about how I can convince them of that, because she seems very convinced, her grandmother seems very convinced of that.
Okay, listen, let's go back to that at the end.
All right.
Since you seem to have a lot of questions about
right.
how you answer the political question.
Mm-hmm.
You want our faith and trust in you. And we can go ahead with you to the social worker and Renee's grandmother and set the record straight. A good person to do this would be Sharon Amos. It ought to be somebody who is a social worker and competent and experienced and very sensitive, and Sharon is well-liked. No, it's for protection in a group. The president's wife just called the other day. And also the opposing candidate, the wife of Carter, Rosalind Carter, called Jim to talk, and Jim said it was a matter of 20 minutes to half an hour. And there's so many coming to the testimonial dinner, which is going to be held in September. I don't know the precise date. I think it was the 9th, but maybe the 25th.
I don't think I know anything about it.
You don't know about it? Okay. The mayor and a group of dignitaries have been so impressed with Jim and their work with him that they've decided to, have him to hold a dinner as a benefit for Jim in honor of the work that he's done. And congressmen, supervisors, all sorts of important dignitaries from all over the state, and even all across the nation, are going to be coming to it.
Mm.
I don't know all of the details, but it's a very impressive thing.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor is co-sponsoring it. If you have more questions, when we meet together, we can, clear some of this up. Now, at the meetings, we can give you your passport and make arrangements for Renee's things, if you want.
Oh, I have all our things.
You do have all our things. Okay,
mm-hmm.
That's good. Jim, wanted to express to you that our desire is to help. He does have the greatest esteem for you.
Not true. That's beautiful, God.
He really does.
He really hate me by
now.
No. I mean,
blame
him,
He understands. He really does understand.
Did you talk to him?
Things that, yes, I did. Yes,
you went directly to him?
Directly to him. I didn't have a chance to, at the exact time that, you wanted me to, but at the right time, I did.
Yeah, I wondered, I didn't hear for days. I thought, God, I'm just really in disfavor. Everybody really hates me because I haven't called back. I was so scared.
And, he really wanted to emphasize the esteem that he has for you, considering the work that you've done. You've put in over a matter of 6 years, and it looks like it just seems, it's crazy. After all the years of your life that you put in, you're really in a, After all the hills that you've been through, and your mother had been through, and your whole family had been through, and the years that you put in, and got yourself together, and gained strength.
It's just that I don't care now, Gary, if I'm not going to make it. You know, like if I get something like Sandy Park, whatever happens to me, I mean, it would be a time when I'd be freaked out. I was so concerned with dying and stuff. But I really think I've accepted that now. Like I said, I haven't accepted pain and suffering, mm-hmm. if you will. But to you know, die, it seems like a bit of a relief, you know.
The thing is, you don't have choice over the way you're going to die, Liz.
What?
It's likely to be slow and drawn out and just full of intent, you know, just extreme suffering. It may not be concentration camp, or it may not be that. There's no way of knowing. You could be lying in a hospital bed for years, dying of a breast tumors, dying of paralysis, unable to communicate.
That's true.
But you're in pain.
Oh, that sounds just ghastly. But see, I just feel that whatever I have to go through, I'm not. It's hypocritical of me to stay in it. I'm not dedicated.
Not only are none of us perfect, but you know, Jim reiterates all the time, but none of us are close to it. We are barely even on our way, and he wants us here.
Mm-hmm.
We've been brought here for a purpose, every last motherfucking one of us. I've been brought back 4 or 5 times, Liz,
mm-hmm.
and you know that, mm-hmm. and you, in a sense, you were my contact to come back here.
I know
that. If it hadn't been for you, I would never, I wonder if I would ever have had the courage to come back.
Okay.
Jim had used you. You put yourself in a place to be used, and you can do so again.
See,
and our soul knows that you're gone.
I think that there's no place in the world to keep that devil. I really believe it.
Lizzie.
I just don't feel that I am.
Lizzie, listen to me before it's too late here. Practically nobody knows you. In fact, besides Jim and maybe a few people he's confided in, I don't think anybody knows that you're gone. And Bev, who was there when you called.
Well, how about Diane?
No.
She
doesn't.
I had Eva. I wanted to talk to you.
Listen, if people knew that you were gone, I know that I would get looks, if not direct questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't even gotten those looks, those knowing looks or questioning looks or whatever sort of looks you get.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten some questions, you know, where's Liz? Or she's been gone a long time. But most people just say, God, you know, the situation of your grandfather is, you know, really, they assume from...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind
so
of...
So they haven't even come to any conclusions as far as I know.
Another thing, I dropped Renee's stuff off the other day, and I talked to her grandmother just very, very briefly. And I said, well, when I got my dog settled, I would, make an appointment with the social worker. And she said at that time, she says, what's this about all these vibrators in your house? That's another one, a new one that came up. So,
The vibrator?
Renee just spilled all kinds of beans. Sometimes she told the truth, like, that's very true about the vibrator. And so she says that I had offered Renee a vibrator, and I said, yes, I had. I said, I'll tell you, Mrs. Weidel, Renee has had lots of sexual experiences. She has? I said, yes. I said, she's fucked a guy. I didn't say fuck. I said, she's had sexual experience with a young boy,
mm-hmm.
and many lesbian experiences. And I felt it was far better to get her to go in the direction of masturbation. And I would have been glad if my mother had given me a vibrator at her age, and so I just felt it was healthier. And that seems to be quite true. Yes, I see your point. And that just quieted her right down. But I, you know.
Were you on Saturday?
Sunday. I was waiting, hoping that I'd hear. And I didn't, so I thought I had to get the stuff out of Bruce's car, so I drove it over. But Renee wasn't there, fortunately. And the actual talk that we'll have with the social worker and stuff, I'm going to put off for at least a week until I get my dog. I have no place for the dogs in that.
Now the thing is, these are things that we can resolve, if we get together and work it out, I'm sure.
Who do we get together now? Who's we?
If you get together with Sharon and me.
I can handle that.
I hope you can handle that. Okay.
Yeah, I can handle that. I hope there's no little surprise there.
And Liz, at least, if you stay away for a while, do keep your ties, please.
How do you mean?
For your own sake.
How do you mean?
For your own selfish sake.
What does that mean, keep the ties?
Keep the ties with, me, with Sharon.
Oh, yeah. I want you to make it really clear that this sounds, maybe it's just a little bit strange, but I mean, if there's ever anything I can do in any small way with any one of my talents, the few talents that I have, if I can ever be used even, I would be very happy to, I hold the temple very dear. I hold Jim very dear.
Beautiful. I appreciate that.
I mean, I do, and I'm so grateful for
that. And I know Jim will really...
I mean, he'll probably understand what I mean when I say it.
Automatically.
So,
I mean, he wouldn't have sent you this message. He wouldn't have expressed, you know, his esteem, his concern, and his understanding for you. And I know he appreciates because he expressed to me his appreciation.
Did he say anything like he thought that I was going to leave or anything?
What?
Did he say anything like he thought that he saw it coming or anything like that?
No. Mm-mm. I mean, I'm sure a great deal of sadness when somebody who's really so dear is.
Now, the thing about Renee, you know, I tried to wear him in. I said, well, can I bring somebody with me, you know, who Renee cared about a lot, for a little talk? And they said, no, we want you to come alone. Now, I need to know, well, when do you and Sharon and I want to get together? Now, I'll tell you, I'm planning to be in Ukiah because Wednesday will be a week for the animals. That'll cost me almost $100.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to get those animals out of the VIP, where I'm boarding them, in Ukiah.
Right.
I'm planning to drive up tomorrow, tonight or tomorrow. And so maybe that's a good time for...
You mean next Wednesday when you get back from...
Pardon me?
You mean next Wednesday when you get back?
No. This Wednesday will be a week that I have the dogs boarded.
Oh, I see.
So I was planning to drive up there tonight or tomorrow, I just start calling around now, like trying to find some kind of temporary place for them. If I thought that they wouldn't be, you know, what I'm saying, and if I thought that, you know, everybody would take care of them, I would really like... because I trust temple people more than anybody else still. You know, I do. I know they're going to take better care. I would like to take the dogs right back to their original pen. Now, I don't want to do it. I don't want people to see me, but I'd like to give them to you, have you take them to the pen and put them back in the pen until I'm ready to be more settled. Because right now, I'm not even thinking about where I want to get settled, like I said.
Well, if it's this Wednesday, maybe we could get together.
Yeah. I mean, is it possible for you to go up there with me and meet with Sharon up there?
No, I don't think that will be possible. It would have to be down here. Because Sharon is only here for a couple of days.
Sharon's down here now? Because the number that I got... See, the message I got this morning from Bruce was, call Jean Brown at the temple or call Sharon at 7600 in the valley. So Sharon's in the valley now. You couldn't go up there with me tonight.
No, I don't. I think I saw Sharon.
Well, she's definitely in the valley today. But they gave me the 457-600 number, and I just can't afford to make any calls, and I don't want to put them on.
Okay, I could do one of two things. I could either arrange something for Wednesday, or I could try to contact Sharon and call you back today.
All right. The thing is that keep this in mind. If I don't get the dogs out by Wednesday, it's 14:50 or something every day that I have them in there. And it's just, you know, I have some little money and it's just all going on the dogs. It's just crazy. I did sort of an impulsive thing when I took them.
Hey, listen, Liz.
Yeah.
I know where Sharon is.
Where?
Listen, there's a dinner taking place tonight. I think it has to do with Burton. I know Burton is coming here. He's expected. In fact, you know, he might be at the church now. Have gone, but there's going to be a dinner. And I know Sharon has a part in it, so I'm sure she's here.
Oh.
She's one of the people who was they probably thought she was going back. But this thing, I think, was arranged fairly hastily.
Oh. Well, if Sharon's around, then perhaps...
I know. I saw her at breakfast this morning.
You did see her?
Yeah.
Well, like, if you and Sharon and I met, where could we go where nobody could see us? I'm not anxious anywhere in the world.
Yeah. Well, what do you think?
I don't know. Or is it where I don't know where we could go, do you? Maybe Sharon would have a thought on this. Because she's going to have to
Listen, can I try to get a hold of Sharon and call you back?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay, I can't tell you whether it's going to be 10 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, but it won't be terrible.
I'm trying to find out if Brown had something else to tell me. Because definitely she did call Bruce twice.
Okay, hold on. Let me make sure that I've I communicated everything here that's essential.
Okay.
I just want to reiterate, you know, Jim's concern for you, more than concern, his understanding. He's really concerned that you keep ties with us and keep in contact.
Always.
Because you may want to return. That's something you don't know. I thought when I left, not just the last time, but the time before, that I was going for good. There was no chance. I wasn't, I mean,
a matter of moral responsibility, I thought I had to say to myself alone, everybody else, absolutely, I will not come back under any circumstances. I may they burn me by my heels hanging from the branch of a tree, but I will never return.
I'm not saying I'll never return. I'm just saying I don't think I will. I thought about it too long, but I may, you know. I never want to close the doors. I think that my best friends in the world are the temple. You know, I really believe that. I believe that. The thing that amazes me already is that the bourgeoisness
is still pending.
The bourgeoisness and the fact that nobody comes to people's aid. Like, I have two sets of friends that are in the throes of moving, and I'm in the throes of helping them because no one else is helping them. I think, well, why don't people help each other? I mean, we're so used to it. You know, and people here just don't get together and help each other. Very strange. Okay, two things, Dave.
Yeah.
I forgot to put those pink slips in the post office and have my mail forwarded.
Yeah.
I'll do that today, but I know there's a whole pile of mail and probably my last check for Renee, which I desperately need because of the dogs.
Yeah.
Especially. So can I give you an address where the mail could be forwarded?
Sure.
And they can send it like COD and
yeah, let me get a pencil.
I'll send it down to Bertie. He can just collect it for me until I'm there.
Give me a minute.
Okay, care of Bert, B-E-R-T.
Sat?
Yeah, S-A-T, Z like in the zebra.
Yeah. I think I have this address, but go ahead and give it to me.
387 Dal Keith, D as in dog.
Dal K-E-I-T-H.
West Los Angeles, 90049. 90049.
Okay, 90049.
Now, one other thing I forgot to tell you about, too. In my garage there in Ukiah, there's like a bunch of boards that Alan put up for me. Like he made like a loft. And on those boards, way in the back, Alan will probably be the only one that could find it easily, but there are all the costumes that are nicely, neatly packed and labeled.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some of those that I'd kind of like to have, just a few, so that I can do my characters and stuff. But the bulk of them I just want to give, you know, to the skit group.
Right.
So I wanted you to know that, so that when the time comes, when you have a place for that stuff, you know where they are.
Liz, that's another thing. I think the skits group is going to be getting underway pretty soon. Again, all that stuff. And you'll really be missed in that.
I know.
Because your talents are not easily replaced, if at all.
I just don't know how I can make myself do the discipline, Gary. And without, see, I started slipping. I started being rebellious. I started sneaking around a little bit and, you know, not doing all the things I was supposed to do. And that made me feel extremely guilty. And I don't, like, if I can't be 100%. Or not, you know, no one, like Jim says, no one's perfect, but
nobody's close to it.
I remember the years when I was truly dedicated, and I feel like if I can't be truly dedicated to the best of my ability, if I'm not making my strongest efforts, then it's stupid. I don't belong there. People like that are always looked down on, and I used to look down on people that didn't carry their load.
But Liz, let me ask you a question. This is more personal than anything
sure.
else. Because I'm curious and I'm concerned. You say you don't, you know, you don't really care anymore. And, you know,
about living.
Why is this? What is, you know, what's gotten to you?
It's got to be too much of a drag to live. It's the daily dreads. The waking up and thinking, oh, Christ. I think that one of the things that was my breaking point was having those disturbed children in the house. You know, I used to communicate that to you, that it was just horrendous. And then having to deal with the other adults in the house and being so compulsive. And the stress on me was just, it's taking me, like I'm really tired now, and I'm going very slowly through my days now.
Yeah.
Even though I'm trying to help people and stuff, I have to really recuperate because it was so much stress on me that I'm not willing to go through that kind of stress. Now, the world out here doesn't look like a world. I am really loving to see my friends. I will tell you that. I have very warm feeling for these people. Even though they've gone a little bourgeois and all this stuff, I still have warm old ties with them, and some of them haven't,
I understand
you know.
That.
Okay.
But remember, Liz, they haven't been exposed. They haven't seen what you've seen.
Right.
Despite all the hippie costume and all of that, and the mind stuff and whatnot. I mean, like we all have, you know, areas where which we feel we can't deal with. And I know, that, you know, some of the children you had were close to impossible.
Oh,
they disturbed.
See, I had nothing but disturbed children. I see my
right.
kids, and they seem so cute, and they're creative, and they're charming, and they express themselves freely, and they mind very well, and they're not frustrated or pressured, and I mean, it's just delightful being around them. Now, I think it was a terrible mistake that I ever thought I could have kids. I mean, I'm obviously not suited to having kids, especially disturbed kids.
Listen, this is part of the message that I got just now, but this Jim told me personally. He said, you can live alone. speaking of you, you can live alone. Sure, it's better to be, you know, with a group and live communally. That's what we're all about. But you can come at your own rate. That's okay.
I know that.
That's okay.
It's beautiful about that, but how do you think I'd feel? Making a special case of myself. Oh, this woman has to live alone because she can't handle
Hey, listen, kid.
What a fucker she is.
Jim didn't feel that you were unproductive.
Huh?
Jim didn't feel you were unproductive.
Well, I felt I was towards the end.
Maybe in terms of your potential you were unproductive, but all of us are, relatively speaking.
You told him that I felt I was unproductive?
No, I did not. I sure said that. I didn't have to. You know the man that he is. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to be told. And he felt that you're extremely productive in terms of you and very productive in terms of the group.
Yeah.
And he was very happy about that. The stuff you were doing, you know, at the time. And one of the things that I'm sure saddened him very, very much was that you, leaving at a time that you were productive in, you know, some, a lot of areas.
I just didn't feel I was.
And you do need his protection. There's just no getting around it, Lizzie. You talked to me, I mean, Friday night about this, you know, heart problem, and you've talked about it, you know, again and again, and that really, really bothers me.
Yeah. Did you talk to him about the heart problem?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I just did not feel right about it.
That's cheap. If I come back to the temple because I want Father to heal my heart, that's a cheap thing to do. I mean, that's what...
Well, just,
most people
Liz,
would never do that.
I want you to know this. You may feel cheap. Just think where I was. I was a complete and utter motherfucking mess. You saw me when I came back. I was so wiped out on drugs. I'd lost 30 pounds. I was sick with cancer that I half suspected. I mean, I can go on and on and on and on and on and on. I could barely get up in the morning. I couldn't sleep at night.
Uh-huh.
But that's the smallest part of the story. Ask Teresa if you ever, you know, if you ever had the slightest doubt, you saw me during
So far, I feel better physically since I've left Gary. I mean, it backfired on me, but so far, I feel less, you know, I have less of the heart symptoms because I'm not pressured and I'm getting sleep.
Listen, I want to recall something that you told me.
Uh-huh.
And you told me again and again, and you were right. When I left, you said, Gary, you're probably going to be even happier in a couple of days. You said to me when I left, you said, you're going to be happier in a couple of days than you are right now, and you're going to be probably even happier than that in a couple of weeks. And all that you said was true. You said, and but then the illusions are going to start breaking.
I told you that?
You told me that.
Oh, Gary, geez, I don't remember. I believe you, because my memory's so fucked. I'm sure I told you that.
I mean, think of the problems that you've had with your breasts.
I just had the whole series of x-rays again, and it turned out perfectly clear. And what they did say, though, is that I had lots and lots of calcifications in my body, and the surgeon said that I'm not digesting my calcium to stop taking it, so I'm going to do that.
You aren't?
Well, see, if you take calcium and vitamin D simultaneously, it does something very weird to your body. It can be very serious, and so what's happening biochemically is my body's not digesting the calcium I'm taking. So he said to me, knock out one or the other. Don't take your vitamin D or don't take your calcium.
God damn it, Liz, you need his protection.
I know.
You're worse than a fool.
See, the thing is, Gary, I know I need his protection, but I don't want it anymore. You know what I'm saying? Even if I wanted it, I would be cheap to take it. I have to come back. If I come back, it has to be out of a much higher reason. I don't like it when people come back because they're scared.
You know what I'm hearing? I'm going to have to be frank with you, Liz, because, you know, we've always been close and tried to level with each other.
Yeah, go ahead.
What I'm hearing you're saying is that I have to, my ego has to be protected. And I don't know if that's a higher reason. And I think most people say, well, I have to come of my own free will, a good place where I can smile. Sounds to me like Joe Phillips and some other motherfuckers I can think of who had to come back when they were on top of the world, and somebody who, has, you know, who admits with some humility that they are limited and have weaknesses and have fallen prey and aren't in the best shape. I think for all their ego and everything else, it isn't quite the same thing. Don't feel bad because of that. Don't feel bad.
Okay, what I mean is, I don't think you understand. You know that over half of the people that are in the temple have come to the temple for protection, are in the temple for protection, not because they're, you know, believe in the deeper teachings and they want to dedicate their lives
yeah.
to it. And that's all I'm saying. I'm saying that if I can't be there for a high reason, then I have no right to be there out of wanting to protect my stupid little body. You see? That's a very stupid, cheap reason to be in the temple or to come back to the temple.
The thing out there is the body decays along with the mind. They just reinforce each other in their decay. They go right down the drain together. I'm not saying everybody at the same rate or in the same ways or absolutely, but you know too much. You're too sensitive. You've put too much into this work. There's much less out there for you, even in terms of illusion, than so many, most of the people who've left.
Well, fall. I mean, I don't have...
I mean, you're in a desert.
I don't look at it. I'm not saying, oh, how wonderful to be in the world again. There's nothing here that appeals to me. You know, I'm not... I mean that to you. I'm not going, oh, I'm so glad now to be able to trip around. I'm so glad that... I mean, shit, I don't... No, I'm not... I'm just glad for the freedom. That's the only, I mean, I'm glad for the pressure. The thing that I'm feeling now is that I release some pressure. But it's not like, oh, goody.